the Daily Talk Show, episode 617.
Clap the great man in.
Richard Jansen.
Josh, you guys.
Thank you.
Master at the lights.
Oh, what a load of bullshit.
That's what he calls you when you're not around, Richard.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Is there any truth to it?
Truth to what?
Master that you are lights. The master at the lights.
Oh, might have been 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
Mm. Did you have any other did you have any nicknames?
Yeah.
Well, tell me them.
Well, his nickname's his password, unless you've changed it. Have you updated that?
Yeah.
That sounded dishonest. He hasn't.
No, I'm not going to say that one.
It's pretty easy to find someone's passport. Social engineering.
Yeah, your probably son, is. Yeah.
Look at your kids. Mm-hmm. Look at your dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what was your nickname other than the password, but don't tell us that one?
Dick. For Richard. Makes
Richard.
Sense.
Well, how do you extrapolate Dick out of Richard? I've always wondered.
Well, most Richards are males. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a British thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, can we look that up? How do you get Dick from Richard?
I don't know. Just ask.
Just ask.
Ask your mum, Josh.
The boys. Lynn's spewing. She couldn't be here. We've got on the couch. We've got Happy Harry and Dodge. What's up, guys? Hey.
Hello.
I forgot about George's nickname. He's got a nickname now, Dodge. Yeah.
I love Dodge.
It'll take a while for it to stick.
Dodge probably. Is pretty good.
Mm. Yeah. It has nothing to do with cars. That's what you're thinking, aren't you?
No, well, he could be a dodgy bastard.
No, that's exactly right. He is a dodgy bastard. And happy. Yeah. Happy bastard.
Yeah. But not on Sundays. This app's coming out on Sundays.
Oh, I'm shitty Harry today. I feel like those two Muppets, you know, the two Muppets that shout abuse, because me and George are on the couch next to each other, and it feels like those two Muppets that shout abuse from the balconies.
As a compliment, I think you look like them too.
Harry, what were you saying on the way? You were going to tell me some news or something when we were going up the stairs. What was that about? I can't even remember.
Oh, the giant potatoes for sale.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah.
Does it come with the land?
Yeah, I think so, in a veggie shop or something.
So you're buying the business. You're buying the land. It's a landmark in Australia. Not that I knew of it.
The giant potato was
never heard of it. Never heard of it. Giant banana is probably the most famous one in Australia, you reckon?
No. Pineapple.
Pineapple, big
koala.
Yeah. The big banana, though, Coffs Harbour.
Mm. What's the one at Cobram?
Cobram.
Koala, I reckon? No?
No, we did the tomato, the strawberry. Mm. That's Katandra. No, so we did it. Did an episode from there, remember?
Yeah.
It's up that way.
Talking news, there was some big motorsport news, which is one of the reasons why we've gotten you on.
Oh, mate, there's many more reasons than that.
But that was good timing.
Very appropriate timing for someone that is a, what do you call yourself, a carman? A car man?
I'm a car man.
Do you like Holden?
I grew up with Holden. Mm-hmm. And what you're alluding to is a really, really sad day for Australian heritage, really.
Mm. Is it?
Absolutely.
Why? Absolutely. For someone that isn't connected in any way other than getting in an Uber or driving their own shit box.
So I suppose Holden was the first really, truly Australian car manufacturer. They started in the 1850s as a saddlery company and went to the 20s, mid-20s, when they started building cars for Chevrolet under the Holden brand, using a chassis and made all their own bodies here in Australia. And World War II got in the way later on, and then after the war, the FX was born in 1948. So, and that was a really impetus part of the Australian motoring heritage, really. And it grew and grew.
I mean, most young family back in the day probably drove Holdens. We had like a VL wagon, VK wagon. My first car was a VL.
Yeah.
VL Commodore. What was your first car, Richard?
First car I owned was a HR. No,
not the one you stole, mate.
Oh, well, I used to drive my mother's car all the time, as you do when you're younger.
Yeah.
So, the first car I had was a HR Holden, but it was actually a custom car. It was a convertible that was modified by a gentleman who was a design guy at GM, and his name was Jerry Sweeting. And he had it built by a guy called Dale Fisher in about 1971. So it was only about 3 years old when it was actually built. And, yeah, it was a great car. You know, I had that
What was the modification?
They took the roof off.
So it was the convertible bit. It wasn't meant to be a convertible.
No, they're not a convertible car. They're a four-door car.
So like a soft top or
yeah,
what was
it? Yeah, it was a soft top, yeah, yeah. And it was pretty much started out from as a utility, HR utility. And
so like a ute? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, ute, yeah, yeah.
And so did it have a tray on the back?
No, it, what they did was they were a bit, it was a bit strange because it had a bonnet on the boot as well as the front. So, you know.
Two engines?
No, I wish it did, you know, but it was quite an interesting car. It was a classic custom for its time in the 70s. So
you're a bit of a convertible guy as well because you've got the – what's the car that you have?
A 68 Impala, Chevy Impala.
It's very impressive.
And so what's the relationship with Chevy and Holden then in regard through the eyes of being an Australian? Because I remember growing up and we had the SS, the Holden SS Commodore, the tiger colour, which was a big deal. We were the only ones. Yep. How many, like we're one of the first to have it in Victoria, were we?
It was one of the first 50 that came into the country. Yeah.
And so we had that. But we talked a lot about changing the Holden badge.
For a Chev
badge. Controversial this week, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose nowadays, you know, we were having a bit of a joke at work saying, well, now everyone's going to put Holden badges on their Chevs.
Yeah, where did the Holden logo come from? Is that a lion? What is it?
A lion? Yeah, I'm not sure the actual true meaning of where it came from, but it was you know, Holden was a derivative of or a sub company of General Motors.
So I keep laughing about how I asked, "How you get rich, Dick?" I didn't think about it like that. I keep cackling to myself, but I want to find out.
When I Google it, it comes up with Richard, Rick, then Dick. So it just comes from Rick.
Rick. Yeah. Ah, Richard, that makes sense.
Rick, yeah. Dick, got it. Yeah.
So because Peter Brock, you loved like following him.
Yeah, yeah. Like Peter Brock was just he was the epitome of anything that had to do with Holden. He was a brilliant driver and probably one of the best that's ever been around in Australian motorsport. Really, he's a legend.
Did he die in his prime time? It was after his.
It was after his prime, but he was still. You know, like once a good steerer, always a good steerer.
That's what I say every day on the daily.
And so, and you even, when you got the nickname Master of the Lights.
But it really wasn't.
Well, it was on VHS. We used to play the tape constantly where it's like you, what car was that?
That was my Roadster, a Chev Roadster, hot rod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you had you had the Roadster and then you drag raced a statesman.
Yeah, statesman. So Holden
looking back, that's pretty bogan, isn't it? Like the statesman, turning a statesman into a
drag
car. Because
there's something about putting like a car that almost looks a bit stocky and shouldn't be there, but can rip everybody.
Is that the idea?
No, it wasn't really. It was really just a case of circumstances because the gentleman at in spare parts at GM at the time, had a mule car. Mm-hmm. A mule car is one that they use for engineering development, and that was a mule car for – it was actually interior development at the time. And they'd finished with it, and they said, well, you want it to convert into a drag car.
Mm-hmm. So you changed up the engine and everything?
Yeah, we did the we chose a particular class that was a higher level of class that I had been running, which was in what they call Group 2. Mm. It was a class called Superstock. So, I ran in that for a few years.
Is there any money in drag racing?
No. The easiest way to become a millionaire in drag racing or motorsport is to start as a billionaire.
Yeah. I love that one. I like that. It's definitely not work.
No.
And And so the GM stuff, did that all come out off the back of your dad?
Yeah, yeah. So dad, he started work at Holden in 1951 when he came out to Australia. And he stayed there for 42 years. And when they started tipping people out who were a bit older, basically they, you know, the younger guys who with all the uni degrees and that, you know, come along and said, well, I know you old guys, we don't want you.
What did your dad do there?
He was a material, material controller, so in spare parts. So he looked after bringing in product for spare parts, for the spare parts operation. So, yeah, and just controlling all of that, coordinating. And I suppose back then, and I've been through it myself, is back then you don't have the simplicity of emails and digital transition of data. Everything was either by mail or fax or, you know.
Jump in the commie, drive it down there.
Yeah. So from that point it was, you know, they had a big team of people, a lot greater than what you would for that same job now.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Where was the – did he work in Geelong?
No, he worked – Geelong was Ford. So,
Geelong's Ford.
Yeah, he started in Fisherman's Bend, Port Melbourne, and then when they built the factory in Dandenong, he moved out to Dandenong. I think it was just after he got married. So, and he was living in Glen Waverley. Then they built a house in Springvale North. And so from about 1959, I think it was, he was from Springvale North going to Dandenong. And back then it was interesting because General Motors even had its own train station.
Really?
So, yeah.
People didn't drive.
No. Well, there was thousands of people. You know, like before the massive automation of production lines. You know, it was just people. You know, it was people that created a car. It wasn't robots or anything like that.
Facebook have their own ferry system over in San Francisco.
Mm. Yeah,
and even Pixar. When I visited there, they had their own bus or whatever that would bring people around. Yeah. So, what's the train station now? Do you know? Did it just become a sort of like a local general train?
No. It's not used at all. Mm. And it was like there was a train station for Sandown races as well.
Yeah, so drag racing's been an interesting thing in Victoria. We used to go to Calder Park.
Yep.
Heathcote.
Yep.
And what's the scene? Is there a drag racing scene in Victoria anymore?
Some people would say yes, in that Heathcote is still around just for a, but not Andrew approved racing. But there's a lot of 8th mile tracks. So generally, drag racing is a quarter mile, 1,320 feet. Now there's a lot of 8th mile race tracks, mainly because of the ability to put it onto a smaller package of land, and because land is such an expensive commodity now. So, there's tracks in Portland, down near Warrnambool, Swan Hill, Mildura, Bairnsdale. Mm-hmm. So all of those little tracks are around, but they still don't have the ability to draw upon the millions of people that are in Melbourne. Mm. So and that's the problem is that Melbourne as a city is so wide and spread. Calder Raceway was great, it was brilliant, and what it needed was another raceway over the southeastern suburbs. Mm. And if there was that, it would have been great. But the changes with the way that the Calder Raceway was managed and the relationship with the governing body just meant that it just didn't work. You know, Bob Jane, who owned Calder Raceway, he was shall we say, a prickly fella to deal with.
Yeah.
And it was difficult for them to keep it going. You know, like when I was racing, there would be 50,000 people there on a night.
Jeez.
You know,
what years would that be?
So that was the best years really were
before Josh was born.
The best years were probably 92 through till about 97, 98. Yeah,
some great years.
Yeah, and it was a really, really strong and in actual fact, drag racing was really a major threat to other forms of motorsport in Australia in particular, like the way that supercars are nowadays. Mm. You know, you get enormous crowds at supercars. But I tell you what, if it wasn't cocked up by Bob Jane in Victoria, supercars I don't think would be as strong as they are now because it was the fact that drag racing lost its momentum, and there always has got to be, you know, something loses its momentum, another thing gains momentum. So, yeah, the supercars have endured a very strong public support over the last, you know, probably 10, 15 years. But I think that's coming to a bit of an end now.
So is that, with Holden ceasing to exist in Australia, what does that mean for supercars?
Well, I'm not an expert on the supercar side, but
Well, you follow Holden in the supercar?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so who? So there's Ford and Holden. Are there any other
V8s?
There was. Nissan aren't
in there? No, Nissan no longer.
Is there a GTR in the race now?
No. So when supercars opened up the doors to other manufacturers, you had your Falcon and your Commodore, and then Volvo came along. So that was not a factory team as such. It was a Polestar team in conjunction with Gary Rogers.
What does that mean? What's a Polestar team?
So Polestar is like a HSV arrangement for Holden. So Polestar is the version for Volvo.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah. And then you had the Mercedes, based on a really like an E63 type car. Well, that was totally not connected with Mercedes at all, but it was connected obviously with Betty Klemenko, who owns the Penrite team nowadays.
A lot of fucking names you're mentioning. a lot of names.
Yeah.
Which Penrite's a brand. There's also a team.
Yeah. Yeah, so she
MJ63, know that.
And that was called the Erebus team. So they used a Mercedes V8 and then the Nissans, which was really run, that was a factory Nissan team run out of the Kelly workshop. And that was, they used a Nissan Altima, which they never came out with a V8 in those cars in Australia, but the supercars went to this car of the future style arrangement, which they tried to equalize everything to make it close racing. And the controls that they had to put in there were quite arduous for the teams. And in essence, I think that the demise of some of the other teams was the difficulty in meeting the requirements of what supercars had. So then came the Mustang, because supercars wanted to have a current model car. You couldn't run a car that was no longer in production. And when Ford went out of production, they basically said, well, you know, you can't use the Falcon anymore. You got to have another car.
So they're pulling Commodores from V8 supercars?
Well, yeah, they've got a contract. They can do it for 2 years after the end of production. So they'll essentially run them again for this year and possibly next year.
Well, the juiciness was that they announced the collapse or the ceasing production of Commodore and they hadn't spoken to the Prime Minister. And the Prime Minister, previous Prime Ministers have been giving tax breaks.
It's like 4 minutes before I think they announced it, they sent him an email.
Well, they've been giving them,
didn't check his emails.
So. Yeah, they're in severe debt, giving them breaks.
Yeah, I think that's a real hard one, because Toyota received massive amounts of money. So did Ford.
I mean, it's bullshit for all of them to be getting this stuff. Tesla's not getting money from the American government. They're meant to be a
The Americans do it a little bit differently, though. You know, it's not the same. It's, you know, you look at in Germany, they get assistance over there through tariffs and there's always assistance given to big manufacturers. In
but is Holden production. Just like GM? Is Holden just an American company?
Holden was the Australian company that was part of the GM organisation.
And so do you think, though, that those rebates and all the support that the government was giving, was it really just propping up obviously an American company that's providing jobs for Australians?
But you know, you would never know. A friend of mine, he would know, and he was quite close to Holden. He was in charge of the motorsport connection with Holden and supercars, and he's a very, very knowledgeable person. And I think that if you want to get into more in-depth stuff about, you know, the workings of the way Holden and a lot of the manufacturers worked, he's definitely a man too. But
we're more headline guys, you know. We're headline guys.
Yeah, really. Well, this guy's a pretty good headline. He's the human headline. He's like Darren Hinch.
Darren, really? I was going to say, you can't have that nickname.
Except he's, hey?
You can't have that. That's Darren's.
Yeah.
Human headline. Yeah. That was his nickname.
What did you call him?
Darren Hinch.
Oh, yeah. Darren. He said Darren.
No, I called him Darren. That's why I thought you said. You know, I call him probably Darren, and then I tried Darren, and you call me. You like, what is that?
That was Darren.
I said it right.
All right, so moving on from car stuff for a bit. What's funny? What are you thinking, Hans?
I'm just going to throw it over to the Gronks on the couch. Yeah. Any questions for Josh Jansen's father?
What's a gasket?
No, not car related.
It can be.
Not car related.
Describe a gasket, Richard.
Relating to Josh and, you know, breeding a boy like him.
Well, let's start with a gasket question. Give us a 10-second answer. He doesn't know.
Well, that's an interesting. Well, a gasket can be a number of things.
Oh, it's just the other day Tommy said, blown a head gasket. And I was like, a head gasket?
So what he's talking about there is a compound of material between two pieces of metal that allows it to move slightly, very, very slightly, but creates a seal for the cylinders and the water and the oil.
You're in trouble if it blows, aren't you, Richard?
Yes.
George, any question about
about Josh?
Yeah. Anything that you're curious about? I mean, I got plenty, but I thought I'd just talk to you there.
What did you think about Josh being best friends with all his teachers?
A good one.
Didn't really worry me. No.
That's good.
Did you know about it?
Well, yeah.
Well, yes and no.
Well, it's different too. I went to my teachers were great. He went to a Catholic schools where you don't want to be friends with the teacher. You want to sort of run out as soon as you can when class finishes.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's
they're still doing the whip back in that day?
Yeah. Yeah. Strap and the whip. Strap and the cane.
Did you get it a bit? Oh, no.
I tried to avoid it.
What was the most trouble you ever got in at school?
Probably exploding things in the lab at in Form 4 in their chemistry. I had a new chemistry wing at the college, and our very first prac day, we went there and we had to mix up zinc dust and sulfur. I'll never forget it. And you mixed it up and you put it in the little glass test tube and you heat it up, and you weren't supposed to, but they didn't say don't leave it in the flame until everyone had left it in the flame and there was things exploding everywhere because zinc dust and sulfur is flash powder.
Yeah. So what were they hoping to do with it?
Well, just to show us how those two properties
react.
Surely
schools don't do that anymore.
Well, I'm sure they would in chemistry. But, we went to chemistry prac once that year, and that was it. So in the end, what we used to do is we used to go up to Selby's, the chemical supply company up around the corner, and we used to buy our own stash of zinc dust and sulfur and make flash powder rockets that we'd set off going across the oval.
Actually, you're obsessed with he's obsessed with fireworks.
Did you when I was young, probably year seven? Yeah, year seven. Got the order form from a business in Canberra, and you could jot down all you want for your fireworks and send it off. Did you ever do that?
No. The only thing I ever did was I used to bring them back from when I raced in Adelaide, because you could buy them in Adelaide. Mm. Remember that, Josh?
Yeah. There was one New Year's Eve that Dad. There was one where it sort of you'd light it. It was a rectangle, it would twirl up. It was really great. Yeah, and what do you remember what it was called?
Catherine's Wheel?
Yeah, maybe. But my mum was very, like, she wasn't a fan of them. But she's like, okay, New Year's, you can do it. And, yeah, sure enough, Dad lit one and then knocked it as he was going off, and so it started firing at us.
There was also candles.
Yeah. Well, there was also I bought some firecrackers from a maid at school, and then Dad found out, and so he said, okay, well, you can keep them, but we need to test them to make sure that they're okay. And so then he
Love that.
So he went out to the back and he lit it, and then as soon as he lit it, it fucking exploded in his face. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Do you know what the squeegee has to do with this show?
Jesus Christ.
Do you have any idea of that?
Squeegee.
That answers it. That's all I'll say. That's all good. Episode 14.
When I played footy, you were the runner.
Oh, yeah, we won't go there.
And it was actually, you had to talk about your career as a runner. How did you even get involved?
Well, you were playing football, so I did the fatherly duty and offered my services to the team.
And how'd you land on runner?
I don't know. I think I wanted to lose some weight.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. That's been a never-ending battle.
Amen.
But the runner was interesting. The runner was better than doing security.
Mm. Security? Well, what do you mean? For what?
For the umpire going out.
What?
Yeah.
For security? Where did you guys grow up?
And so why did they need security?
The league requested them to have security.
And so what happened was Dad wasn't happy with how the umpires were going, and ended up – what happened?
Oh, just having a bit of a chat along the way, and, you know, I wasn't being rude or nasty or anything. I just said to the umpire going out, I said, maybe you could see both sides of the game. And
so anyway, he was in a runner outfit, weren't you?
Anyway, I had to go to the tribunal.
And what does that mean? Like, it seems it's not police. It's not like you're in trouble with the law.
What does it
mean?
For
some reason you have to rock up to something. What was it? Explain what a tribunal is in a local child's league.
It wasn't just the child's league. It was the main.
They used the same junior ones.
Yeah, they used the same league. Tribunal, but he didn't turn up. So
the umpire too scared.
Who did he rat on you or something? And then
he must have said something. So, you know, like obviously I shouldn't have said something, and I wasn't being rude or anything.
Did you put was there a bit of mayo on that? Did you actually use some other words that weren't "you should see both sides"?
You probably swore at him.
Did you?
Because he actually got. Because mum's been embarrassed a few times. What about the basketball?
I think that's a bit unfair, Josh.
The point four.
you can reel off a story after, Richard.
That's fine. One for one, baby. Yeah. So master at the lights. He knew a lot about what's it called? Reaction times. And so there was 0.4 of a second on the clock at a basketball game. And Vikings were up, which is the team that my brother played for.
Wasn't Vikings, was it?
Yeah, it was Vikings, but it wasn't at Veneto Club. There was 0.4 of a second. Now, the deal is that the clock starts when it touches the hand of someone within the court, right? So when it's this point, like when there's less than, is it 3 minutes or a minute? I've gone blank.
Less than a minute.
Less than a minute. It's every single time the ball goes out of court, the clock stops. I think it could be 3 minutes. No, it could be 3 minutes. Yeah. Anyway, the final 0.4 of a second, the ball gets thrown in to the court. Someone catches it and then gets a 3 points and wins the game for the other team. And so Richard Jansen having opinions around reaction times and also having being a slight pest when it comes to junior sports, you ended up having a conversation with the umpire.
No, I didn't.
You did, yeah. I remember Frankie, the coach, they asked you to leave.
Well, you know. You got to keep up the reputation, don't you?
Was that right? That's what happened.
Oh, listen, it was a long time ago. I can't remember.
There was also air horns involved. We had an air horn for a while. Why did we buy the air horn?
Because some other team had done it previously and we thought we'd get them back.
An air horn to the basketball.
I mean, it seems very committed to the whole thing.
It was more entertainment than anything. You
was
know,
it?
Entertainment for myself and for the other fathers, you know.
Yeah.
We actually used to have a good time because we'd go to the Veneto Club and you'd have a few beers because that was the only venue that had alcohol. So you'd have a few beers, have a meal and that. And so, unfortunately, having a few beers, you tend to
get a bit lippy.
Get a bit lippy and get wound up. Yeah, like I remember one time there was they were playing a particular side, and this wasn't junior basketball. This was seniors, you know. So we'd pick on a particular person because that person would then get would lose his shit and then get tech fouled out or something like that. Anyway, we were having a go at this guy. There was three or four of us that would, you know, strategically place ourselves around the court and, you know, heckle. And I remember the guy runs past the bench and says, what did he say exactly? Oh, you better tell your mates to shut the fuck up because I've got a gun in me bag. And so we stopped.
That's great.
Yeah, so it was
chance of it wasn't real. Chance that he just thought he heckled you, basically.
No, he just got out of jail about
6 months
prior. Oh, yeah. So we thought, let's be quiet. Good shot, mate.
Oh, that's awesome. What was it like raising Josh Jansen?
Oh, it was a pleasure, really. It actually was.
Your work's not done yet, mate. You're still a child.
Oh, yeah, but I'm still a child. So,
it sounds like
we had three boys and it was really good. And we had, apart from the time when Lynn would dress everyone in the same clothes, Josh?
Yeah. I can't remember. That was I was like three.
Like dress everyone in the same clothes, including me.
Four boys.
but it was good.
Do you think there's something about youngest children that they're distinctly different?
Oh, they get the most, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, they definitely get the most. You reckon I got
the most? I guess I got to go to VCA and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, listen, I don't know. You know, you tend to learn what the silver bullets are and what they're not, what aren't. And I think that's the important part is so long as you make sure that they're respectful and your children are respectful and, understand the true values of life, you're happy, and so long as they're happy doing what they're doing too. Mm. And that's a key because, like, I was an accountant. After 20 years, I said to Lynn, I said, I can't do this anymore. I need to do something else. And that's when I
got an earring.
No, that was a few years later. But, so I changed trades and jobs and redid a trade and everything. So, yeah, it was interesting. Interesting.
What do you think of, I've never asked you about faith and religion. What do you think, like growing up in a Catholic household and a school?
Yeah, so mum and dad were, your grandparents, as you know, were very, very religious. And
Nana had what, like probably 18 priests or something?
No, it was nine priests at a funeral celebrating it. So, yeah, but and her brother was a brother. Mm-hmm. So not just a brother, but
brother, like work.
It was a work
work.
Yeah, work, brother. but yeah, he was a brother for the Palatine missions.
Can I just explain, because the guys probably don't know what the work joke is. The other day I said, Dad calls me. He's got a real thing about like whether we're making money or whether we're doing the daily talk show. And so he said, how are you going? I'm like, oh yeah, we're, you know, busy with work. He's like, work? And so that's where that comes from. Yeah, yeah, so well, guys, so brother, what is a brother?
That's a, you know, like a priest, but not as far. Mm-hmm. So, and Dad's brother, he was a priest or a Franciscan monk. So,
Franciscan monk.
That was an order of the priest of, not Catholic, the order of a Christian priesthood. So they used to do a lot of ministry things over in India and Pakistan and things like that. So, yeah. So I grew up in a pretty, pretty religious household. I had to do the old altar boy thing, and but then, and when I went to a Catholic college, Catholic primary school, Catholic college, we had to learn Latin. So I learned Latin for 4 years.
It's pretty useless, isn't it?
Or? Oh no, not really.
What do you do with it?
Yeah.
Speak Latin for me.
I wouldn't have a clue.
Well, what do you?
I couldn't speak it back then.
What's the Latin for? Like, what would you use it for?
It helps you with the
English language, maybe.
English language, yeah. Mm-hmm. The defining of words in the English language. You can actually see the derivatives of things. But but it was interesting. We used to have to translate the Bible from Latin into English, and it was funny. I think it might have been in about Form 4, so year, was it 8?
I don't know.
No.
How old year 10. Were you? So you're 10, like 15, 16?
Yeah. So we used to do that, and we used to have to translate out of Latin into English, and I'll never forget, we translated the Ascension into Heaven, which is the section of the Bible, and it was a perfect description of a spacecraft taking off.
Mm-hmm.
So then a few of us, we got into a bit of trouble actually, because we there was a thing called Chariots of Gods, which was about the aliens and Egyptians and, you know, all the
pyramids and stuff.
Yeah, the pyramids and everything like that. So we got into a lot of trouble at school back then.
Because what did you do? You implied that there was aliens were involved in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which, what undermines the work of the Bible.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's not true. Like, it's not another thing.
Maybe. So you called it then, did you?
And so were you pretty disenfranchised by the whole thing at that point?
Oh. Yeah.
Because we never really, we didn't go to church.
No.
But then your sister's kids all.
Yeah, but the difference there was Lynn's family was not really religious at all. So you guys got baptized and
what does that get me, by the way?
You can get into
Catholic
schools.
Yeah.
Why didn't you sign me up for MCC?
The MCC?
Yeah.
Because I wasn't a member.
Yeah, no, but couldn't we have just signed me up?
Yeah.
You'd have to be paying for it and you don't go.
He gave up his MCC.
Did you really? Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's the cricket club, isn't it?
That is,
yeah.
Harry.
Yeah.
But I've got two brothers that have it, so I can go anytime with them, sit with them, play $30. It's better with the amount I go, paying $30 or $60, go a couple of times for a year as opposed to $550 every year, even if you don't go.
It's a status thing in a lot of ways, isn't
it? Definitely. And I'm higher than that. I'm high that, Richard.
Yeah, great.
And Harry, so, Harry, I feel like you'd have a question.
Yeah, surely. What have you been
other
thinking
than
about,
head Harry? Gaskets?
Pardon? Sorry, I
other than that. Gaskets.
Any questions?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Well, you've listened to the show. I feel like there's almost
about Josh.
Just about anything. Has.
Do you remember? Do you remember Josh's bike that had the alarm system?
Warning!
On?
Warning! Stolen bike. yeah, that was funny.
It was handy.
Harry?
Yes. I don't know.
I've got one.
Yep. Thank you.
Josh is thinking.
I gave him some time with the stolen bike.
But he didn't. He doesn't use it. He just didn't connect the dots.
No, Josh has done a lot of technological stuff, like website hosting, podcast hosting.
Is this a Ventra IP integration?
And things like filming and stuff. What's been the most annoying thing, technologically wise, that Josh has done?
That's a good question.
Aside from the microphones under the couch.
Yes.
Sick.
Oh, they weren't really annoying because it was
they annoyed the fuck out of you. I annoyed you a lot when I was a kid.
I've forgotten. I'm old.
Trauma usually does that. You push it to the back.
I suppose the most annoying part was the camera in your face when he was 12 years old. And it was constantly in your face, especially Lynn had that more than I did because I'd just go to work and leave her with it.
But then I did it for your 40th. Was it? No, for your 50th. I did the it couldn't have been 50. 40th. It wasn't 40. 40th, you did the Dracula's thing. No, yeah. But for your 50th, I did a video where I followed you around, didn't I? Work. Remember I did that video?
Oh, yeah.
And it was sort of in the style of how Ryan Shelton would do the Rove Live stuff. And so it had Dad with a boggling head. It's like, meet my dad, Richard Jansen.
Yeah. That had a you still got that?
Yeah, I'd have it somewhere. Yeah. We should put it on. Like, it's definitely got copyright music all over it.
Yeah. Right, unlisted link.
Yeah, that would work. Yeah.
That'll be fine.
What other annoying things I do? Be honest. Lean into it.
Oh, no, I'm not here to hang shit.
No, you can't. So. No, that's
the point. He threw you under the bus with the tribunal gear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you learn and live and learn, don't you?
So what's the lesson?
Well, I haven't done it since, have I?
Have you?
No.
What other things? What do you remember? We probably should prompt him beforehand with some stories because he's fucking. Yeah, he'll remember on the way home.
Yeah, I will, and I'll ring him up. No, I think that the camera filming was probably the and you know when you did Rodder's Life and that was a pretty hard time for you.
Yeah.
Hats off to you what you did there for.
I was doing 30 hours. I'd do 5 hours a night editing. Yeah. I'd procrastinate and then have to do it in the middle of the night.
Not much has changed. Yeah. No. I still procrastinates. And
that's why we have George.
Yeah.
What about confirmation on a story that involves Jake and a car?
Oh, which one? Oh, there's a lot of.
He took the car. One? He took the car ute. To a party or something.
Yeah. Which car was it?
It was my blue EK ute. And he took the party the car out, and I came home a couple of days later, and I was on the computer in the back room, and I saw these. I was flicking through, and there's some pictures came up, and it was of the ute doing a burnout. And
where were you flicking through?
It was on the.
It would be in Kodak software,
in the computer,
and. And it was my ute doing a burnout, and I thought, what the? So I went outside and had a look at the tyres. They were brand new and they were bald. And so anyway, I came in and I said, "Hey, Jake," I said, "come with me." And I don't know whether he knew what was going on.
Anyway, I said, knew. He would have known.
So I had a look. What happened to the tyres? He said, "Oh, I don't know." And I said, I think I know. I said, there's a picture of the car doing burnouts. And he goes, they look good, didn't they?
You had been done.
You were big in the street drags, weren't you? You don't talk about that much, but you.
I'd get locked up nowadays. Yeah.
Well, but Dandenong, Princess Freeway, Princess Highway.
Yeah, we used to race a lot back in the days.
Well, the laws weren't different. There was just less police presence.
I know the laws were different.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
They just hadn't written them yet.
They didn't. Yeah,
the reason the laws are existing is because this
car. Yeah, you wouldn't lose your car or anything like that back when we were doing it. We were talking, you know, late 70s and early 80s and things like that. That's when I was sort of. But then I went legit and we were part of a proper drag racing club, which was the Dandenong Drag Racers Club, which is no longer, unfortunately, but that had a very big membership, and you know, it was everyone the whole thing was to promote getting off the street. And
was that someone die? Did you have someone die doing it?
No.
Any bad car accidents or anything?
Me?
Yeah, well, just as in with the street drag stuff.
Not with street drags. A mate of mine had an accident where he got killed. So that was not good. That was not that long ago, really, 10 years ago.
Mm.
But that was in a hot rod. So,
yeah. The hot rod thing, like Kevin Hart, the American comedian, he fucked up his car.
Challenger, yeah.
Yeah.
Cuda.
Do you think about that in regards to safety of the – you drive around old cars all the time. They're like apparently – I was watching some doco and there was a police officer who sort of worked – I think it might have been Route 66 or wherever it was. It was just like he had a collection of the absolute destruction of people just like – just their heads in fucking steering wheels and just really crazy shit. Do you think about that when you're driving these older cars around?
No.
Yeah, you wouldn't drive them otherwise, mate. Yeah. No. I've got no headrests.
No.
Like you'd get severe whiplash. Well, how are they still legal? Like when it's not meeting safety standards of you couldn't produce a car like that for today and sell it as a brand new car.
It's the same as anything around though, isn't it? You know, like there's a lot of products that come onto the market, not just cars, but that don't meet the current nanny state requirements of society nowadays. You know, yes, admittedly, cars are very, very safe nowadays, but you know, it's I understand and I accept that cars, you know, with all the new electronic gadgets and gizmos and things like that, that they are a lot safer and, you know, crumple zones and airbags and everything like that. But as a mate of mine would say, hey, yeah, but I look cool driving these.
You look cool in your Impala.
Yeah, yeah.
It's do you think it'll ever change? Like, do you think they'll remove these old cars being allowed to go on the roads?
Surely I really not. Hope not.
That's a whole culture. Like that's been your whole life.
Yeah, it is a culture, and it's a business part of Australia. Really,
it's huge in the US.
Too, it's huge in the US, but in Australia, it's really, really big nowadays. Mm-hmm. So you've got the demise of the manufacturing of cars, but one thing that we do have here in Australia is the aftermarket for cars is enormous. You know, there's about 20,000 cars plus per annum that come into Australia from the US.
Really?
And
what,
they,
is that all like
left-hand drive cars?
Really?
Yeah, all old cars. So
what's the deal? So left-hand drive, you can have a left-hand drive vehicle without having a sticker on the back if it's how old?
25 years or older.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Older than 25 years, you don't have to
put the sticker on it.
Yeah.
Have you ever been pulled over with a booze bus and they've?
Yeah, they went to Lynn, and she goes. She started laughing. She goes, "I think you better talk to that guy," and he wasn't very impressed. Actually,
oh really?
Yeah, yeah. I've had a few.
Well, because they don't know the law and they're just thinking this guy.
You know, like they probably weren't impressed because of the fact that they have got to go around in between another car and that, and it's a risk to them. So. You know, I can't understand why cars that are under 25 years old cannot be driven on the road the same as an over 25-year-old car.
It doesn't really make sense.
No, it doesn't. So in England, for instance, the cars are traditionally a right-hand drive car, but you can drive from Germany or France or anywhere over to England.
Do you think that's why? Because the Mustangs are very expensive, aren't they? Because they have to convert them?
No, the Mustangs are reasonably priced.
In Australia?
Ford did a very, very good job. Take my hat off to them. They did a magnificent job on getting the Mustang in to replace the Falcon.
Isn't it like a $80,000? How much is that car?
$55,000, $60,000.
Oh, really? Okay. So many of them on the road.
You look at the cost of the Camaro, what their HSV HSV is selling the Camaro for, you know, like they're 100, 110, 120,000.
Who the fuck's buying an HSV at that price?
Well, that's right. You know, like they're dreaming, you know, as Michael Caton would say, tell him he's fucking dreaming, you know. That's just crazy. You know, like they're on drugs. There is no reason for anyone really to buy that car. It's not worth $100,000.
So this is being imported from the US.
So it gets imported from the US, gets manufactured and imported from the US, and then it goes to the Walkinshaw HSV plant in Clayton, where they do a full conversion of it. And it's done properly, but it's got, you know, $35,000 worth of labor and parts
in it.
That's
ridiculous.
That, you know, bumps the price up. It's crazy.
Is this? Do you think the stuff with Holland's going to increase the sale price of cars? Yeah, like VL.
Of the older ones? No, it's already happened.
It's already happened, yeah.
It's already happened. It's happened like over the last couple of years, the older Holdens from about, believe it or not, their first model, FXF, FJs, really haven't had a big boost, but anything after that, all the way through to VLs, even VNs and
VKs.
Yeah, VKs and things like that, they've gone through the roof.
When we were kids, you got a shell of a car, a Willy's Aero Wing, and the plan was that you were going to have it ready for James, my brother's formal. So that was how many years ago? That would have been 20 years ago.
It was 17 years ago.
Sorry, 17 years ago.
Yeah, because I've had it for nearly 18 years.
And so that was the plan. You had a bunch of stuff happen, weren't able to make it happen. So what state is the Willy's Aero Wing in now? How many are there in Australia and when will it be finished? So you thought it was going to be done 17 years ago.
Oh, no. I thought it would be done about 15 years ago.
It's not much difference.
And so he's moved, every time they've moved house, they have to fucking organise like where is it staying now? Where is it?
It's at a place which is getting the engineering work done for it. So things are rolling along a little bit.
When do you think it will be on the road?
10 years.
No. Maybe 2022.
Okay. Did you sell the what's the latest you said? The El Camino?
I sold that.
What do you reckon you spent? Just a rough figure on cars across your lifetime?
Oh.
Just rough. Just throw the number out there.
Wouldn't have a clue.
Nah, just throw one out there, Richard. No. Come on.
It'd be over $1 million.
No.
You got the Chrysler. You got like all the
If you're talking about all those.
No, I'm talking about every car. Every cent you've spent on a car that you of your own.
Oh, I don't know.
Roughly.
No.
Half a mil, more?
No. Well, because.
More. He said
yeah,
more.
Yeah, definitely
he said
more.
He went more.
All right. Well, we should do something with the wheel. I wonder what will come first, whether you will have the Willy's Aero Wing ready or whether we'll have our Cybertruck from Tesla. Because 97 has put we've put a deposit on the Cybertruck.
That square thing?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
you know what? It'll beat most of the cars that you own.
It will. Yeah, of course it will. Yeah. I think they do 0 to 100 in about 2.7 seconds.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
What is it? And then if you include 0.4 for
Yeah, but
human
you can only 2.7 seconds, but you can only drive it for 100 k's.
No, I think it's actually got a 500 k
500 k
range on it. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, halfway to Sydney.
And so we're going to, if we're getting some more work,
work's going well. Yeah,
we'll do like the daily talk show decal the whole thing.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah,
yeah. And then we'll have yeah.
And if we don't have work,
well then you lose your deposit, don't you? Which I think they'll give you the deposit back. To be honest,
I think that yeah, it's refundable.
That's good. Cute. That's
have you
cute.
Put a deposit on it?
Yeah, only 20 grand.
Yeah?
No, not really. No, how much was it?
150 bucks.
150 bucks. And that that puts you in the line.
So are they producing them yet?
Well, No. They don't actually we won't find out if they're coming to Australia for a little bit, I think.
They should.
2021, 2022.
Yeah, similar timing.
Yeah, that's why.
Did you see the video of Elon Musk driving it out of like Nobu in Malibu?
Oh, no.
And he just like runs over a pylon. It's fucking great. It's so obnoxious.
It's just a Hummer version of.
You hated Hummers, didn't you?
Yeah, don't ever call it a Hummer version.
Can't stand Hummers.
Yeah, Hummers are out, but this is not a Hummer, mate. It's a fully really electronic vehicle.
Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah.
It's sad.
Why is it sad? Well, just because you connect it with. What if we put a Holden badge on the back?
No, don't do that. Sad.
Yeah. What do you think? Just because of what it represents.
No, not what it represents. You know, I think the electric vehicles will be around in a lot sooner than a lot of people realise. It's just the technology of the batteries and the understanding of the public that battery or electric cars with batteries actually produce more pollution than an internal combustion car.
Oh, are you sure? It's a bombshell he's dropping.
Are you sure?
It's a deep rabbit hole to go down. The resource goes into creating these batteries is created. Like there's a whole bunch of that.
But then you've got to build. But if you've got the infrastructure around like renewable energy and you create really good networks.
But that's the problem though is that everyone says it's about renewable energy. The problem is that out there at the moment there's not much sun. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't get it out of solar panels.
It's like
wind,
but they're talking
about. So you won't get it out of fan blades. Maybe people should start looking at all these mini nuclear reactors,
or maybe doing
around the
what
place.
You suggest, which is turn the fucking lights off. Maybe if everyone just turned the fucking lights off.
Yeah. No. Oh yeah.
That was a big issue though back in the day for us, or leaving lights on.
Yeah, but you know,
it costs money. I still think about that shit.
Yeah. No, but I think that the whole pollution aspect is definitely something that's got to be considered. But why is it up to Australia to be the leader when we represent 1.2% of the pollution that is relative to the greenhouse gas?
I guess
sounds
the point
like
is
you watch a lot of Sky News and Tony Jones. And that's exactly what he would say.
Yeah. Well, he's a good bloke, Choppers.
No. Tony Jones, like the old Tony Jones, the old man in Sydney. Oh, right. Not TJ.
No, TJ. Anyway, on that note, Richard. Mate, you have to come back in.
Yeah, more.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this.
We'll have to get Lynn in as well next time.
Maybe.
What was her appointment? Do you know? She was meant to be in here.
Yeah, it was. But it was my fault.
Okay. So, did she say? Did you had a conversation about it?
Yeah. I never told her about it.
Well, it was very loose. There was sort of there was a general conversation.
Yeah, it was a general conversation. I never told her about it until yesterday.
And now she's not here. But we'll get Lynn back separately and then I think the two of you.
Yeah, great.
I love that.
Perfect. Yeah. All right,
just before we go, Josh, Venture IP.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what Venture IP is, Richard?
Venture.
Venture.
V-E-N-T-R-A. No. IP. Do you know what a web host is?
Yeah.
What's a web host?
It's a host for your web.
Yeah, what does it do? What do you think a web host? Because you've paid, you actually.
Yeah, for a domain name.
Go on.
Yeah.
Do you know how many Josh has got?
Oh, maybe 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, spot on. Spot on. Yeah.
Well, I've got the jansons.com.au.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
No worries. Yeah.
You don't know that, Richard.
Yeah, it's Josh. All of his email addresses and stuff connected with that. So what do you think a web host is?
Oh, you're obviously hosting web pages for people or their domain names. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and so Venture IP is one of our sponsors and partners.
Oh, okay.
And so if you use the code TDTS in checkout, if you get shared web hosting, which is imagine if you've got like a web server, which is just a computer.
Yeah.
It's a bit of overkill for your whole website to have its own computer. You don't need that.
Yep, yep.
And so shared hosting is like, okay, well, let's put a few websites on one computer.
Yeah.
And it's economically, you know, it's cheaper.
Yep.
So if you use TDTS at checkout for shared hosting, you get 50% off on your first year.
And I reckon we could probably organise a walkthrough of the building down in Narre Warren for you, Richard.
Yeah.
Not for the other Gronks, but maybe for
you. They have a barber.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they have a barber on site.
I need a haircut. Yeah. It's gone a bit fluffy.
Yeah.
They've got that. They've got a
got an internal inside swing.
Yeah,
games room, so maybe Richard.
I reckon it'd be great to watch the drags.
I'd fall off the swing.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
We didn't even get to it. Man, I'm just remembering all these stories. There was one time where Dad fucked the amount of turf that we needed, and so he had to create a whole garden bed. Like we're meant to have the whole, you know, side yard was meant to be grass.
Went from 80% grass to 80% garden.
Yeah. Do you remember that? It was annoying.
It wasn't that bad.
No, okay.
It was 50. Only like a square metre.
60-40.
Any other stuff on the energy stuff, Harry? You're getting a bit fired up.
Oh, no.
That's why I covered it up, because it just drops off into an abyss.
Another thing, yeah.
But it
believe
does.
It, you know, the
didn't,
thing around.
Didn't you need to be gone by quarter past?
Okay. I'm trying to wrap it up for Richard.
All right. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. The views expressed by our guests, the opinions of our guests only. Today's talk show. See you tomorrow, guys.
See you guys.